been here for a couple minutes. I can say hello to you. Mr. Wonstadt.
Dave Wonstadt.
Shane, wake up.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wonstadt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wonstadt, one of my, you know, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
These guys, it's tough to get any, you can see it's tough to get any serious work done here, but
Football analyst for NBC Sports and the Marquee Network.
I think over the last 4 days, I have become a hurricane expert.
This is Chicago's News Traffic and Weather Station.
The worst place to be for a hurricane is to be south and east, because that was it turns counterclockwise. The northern part of the hurricane is gonna, which was Tampa, didn't get much rain or much flooding at all from the standpoint of surge. They get the wind. And then when it circles around back out into the Gulf and pulls everything in, now the southern part is getting all the wind and it's getting the water pushed up. That's where the surge comes from. You're watching this thing. You're trying to see how close it is, how many miles, you know, what's the wind velocity? What's it going to be? What category when it hits the water? There's a lot that if you really, you know, get into this stuff, it makes a difference.
Time for a look at sports. Here's 6-7 The Score's Chris Emma.
Form is something tall and strong. They get a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care.
I don't care.
It's 5:00 somewhere.
Yes, it is, and that means that Dave Wonstadt is here. This segment is being brought to you by Four Winds Casinos, your entertainment escape. It's a Spiegel and Holmes show. Dave Wonstadt every Thursday at 5:00, and this week, we get the joy of one of the premier, one of the best ever offensive line coaches in the world. Tony Wise is here as well, rocking his Oklahoma State Cowboys shirt. And so I just want to paint the picture for
and
people.
Cheering on the Yankees. Well,
Coach, that's what I wanted to get to. So we got two great football minds in here. We got two guys that we can't wait to break down football tape with. What do we end up talking about during the break? Baseball and basketball with these two guys, and I loved every single minute of it.
College basketball.
That's right.
Pitt. Big East basketball.
Pitt basketball. Well, because who wasn't watching the Big East back in the day? You know, I was watching the night when Jerome Lane broke the backboard, you know?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But yeah, Tony Wise is watching the Yankees and rooting for the Yankees. I'm wearing a Red Sox shirt and it all turned into that.
You're coming to blows.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the other part of what happened here. Speaks couldn't wait to show Tony Wise his Dave Roberts shirt from the last segment of the show.
Well, I know that Tony would appreciate it as a sports enthusiast. And you're right. One of the great offensive line coaches of all time. Can't wait to talk O-line with
Hold on. We're not done with this. Tony, tell the people what you said to Spiegs when he told you where he grew up.
He said, I grew up in Jersey. I said, well, that makes no sense.
That my dad chose the Red Sox.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, because he chose a loser franchise, right?
Well, just the fact it was a long way away and you had going down the street and when you're in sixth grade with a Red Sox shirt on.
Yeah. Yeah, but he wanted to rebel against his dad.
Okay.
You know? So it's that kind of thing. Yeah. So you got to, every once in a while, you got to rebel against the parents in terms of sports fandom.
Tony's having coffee, tomorrow with Olin?
Yeah, tomorrow morning.
Meeting Olin tomorrow, you know, for coffee.
Oh, great.
So what's that conversation like, Tony, when you and Olin get together?
well, he's got his boys playing at Illinois. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's coaching. Okay. So we talk a little bit about that. And, you know, he'll say, God, they won't listen. And I said, yeah, welcome to the club. And then we'll reminisce about Big Cat and Todd Perry and various things. Yeah, we have a good time. Yeah.
He had quite the week. And then something you can bring up to him because he talked about it on the air. The boys had their game. He had a game that he coached Friday night. The boys had their great game Saturday. His wife ran the marathon on Sunday.
Thank you. I was not aware of that. Wonderful.
Yeah. So I mean, that's a pretty.
Yeah. He got a lot going on.
He's a packed weekend for sure.
Yes.
And you know what else? Not to jump here, but
I want to get into Pat Manley's comment. Was he on with you guys or the morning show?
He was on with us when he talked about the special teams that player
was
of the week.
Great interview. I thought Manley was great. Tony and I were together, right? Yeah. T, listened to it. And did you ever have a center that do we ever lose a long snapper or backup center had to go in or anything, though?
I got to say no.
Yeah.
I got to say no.
I couldn't remember one either. I told you about the return guy. I had Wes Welker when we were playing.
We lost
our kicker, and he had a kick. And, in fact, Wes Welker was our receiver at the Dolphins. And Lindo Mari, to this day, I don't know what the hell happened, but he came up to me right before the game and says, "Coach, I can't kick." So I called the team up, and I says, "Anybody here can kick?" And Wes put his hand up and said, "I did some of it as a backup at Texas Tech." I said, "You're our kicker. Get ready." So he kicked extra points. He kicked off. He kicked field goals.
See, that's a beautiful thing when that happens, because, I mean, you're bound to have somebody on the roster who can step up. And then, I mean, we loved seeing Caleb celebrating Cole Kmet's snaps. Like, all the players celebrating when somebody steps up. It's got to do a lot for the team chemistry in some ways.
And I mean, hey, Cole, I'm a fan of his. You know, his dad, actually, Tony, we coached his dad at the Bears. His dad was
Frank.
He was a defensive lineman, and he came in, obviously, from Purdue, and we signed him late. He was with someplace else and then joined us, and then we moved him to offensive line, okay? With what we were doing on defense, it wasn't a perfect fit. Tony loved him. Tony said, "He's tough as nails. I'll take him." And then he screwed up his ankle or knee, didn't he, Tony, or something? I can't remember what. And then, it didn't work out. But, yeah, so we coached his dad. And so I'm a fan of his, but I do agree with Pat. There had to be some guy that just threw his body in there, made three tackles, and caused a fumble on a kickoff somewhere.
There's some gunner that's like, "What happened?
Yeah,
I was actually deserving. They've never given this award."
I got to agree with Pat, man. I got to agree with Pat on that one. Come on. I mean, geez, oh, man. And Pat never got it?
Never.
A long snapper's never gotten it before.
As good as ever has been in the league. That's hilarious. Yeah.
It's something.
We just assume it's like a guy hitting a 9-iron. We just assume that the ball's going to be shot back there.
That it's going to end up on the green and you're going to end up in a great spot.
Thank you.
And you take it for granted until you lose that guy. Do you remember who your backup long snappers were?
There were guys just like Kmet. I mean, there were guys that played the position.
Ryan Wetnight.
Might have been Jay Lewenberg.
Ryan Wetnight could do it. When we were at Pitt, I'll give you one on a national championship team. Our backup snapper was our quarterback, Matt Kavanaugh. Who was the MVP in the Sugar Bowl when we won the national championship. But Matt was our backup. He was our starting quarterback, obviously.
Long-time NFL quarterback long-time NFL coach.
Yeah, about six Super Bowl rings or something. But he was our backup long snapper.
Speaks, that's what I was telling you. I was talking about some high school experience, and I was saying that if you were a quarterback at HF, you were taught.
Yep.
And usually the quarterbacks were using the one-handed snap technique instead of firing both. But the coach's rationale was it's a pass between your legs. That's why the quarterbacks would be in
Tony?
That.
That's why it's difficult to teach an offensive lineman because they can't throw.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Sure, they've never done that.
Whereas a guy like Kmet, at some point when he was in junior high, might have been a quarterback.
Hey, Tony, Tony, question.
Now, let me interrupt one thing.
Please.
Because Pat...
It's your dime, your dance floor, baby.
Pat has got a great story when we first got here. We're out practicing. Now, remember, Kat's the right tackle, and Chris Valero's the right guard, and we're running the ball. So Pat remembers at practice, we had to have a guy hold the shield. So Pat is the long snapper, and he's holding the shield. Now, you got Kat at 315. And Chris at 305. And Pat tells a story. He's, all right, set hut. They come off, and they just waylay the living daylights out of them. And Pat says, I didn't think it was good enough. I says, come back, do that again. And Pat is laughing. He says, I'm picking grass out of my helmet. Anyway, absolutely hilarious.
Tony Wise is here with us, along with Dave Wanstead on the Spiegel and Holmes show. We were talking about possible Bears trades because it's become more active now that they'll make trades in the season for a piece. Tony, if indeed it were even available, could you incorporate a left tackle?
No.
Asked and answered, counselor.
Into your offensive line in the middle of a year.
You're not going to get one.
Right. That was Lawrence's point.
Okay. Number one, you're not going to get one.
But what if you got one?
They can play, right?
Right. They can play. Okay. So you got one. And as I think Dave would agree that the reason you got him is because he's a bad guy. So he comes on your squad. And not that the snap count is that much different, but there are some little things about it. And then I'd run and hide.
Really?
I'd get in the car and leave.
What if he's not a bad guy? What if it was about a contract situation? It was a team that wasn't going anywhere and they just wanted to get whatever
they
could.
You're pointing a wonderful picture. He comes on the team and now we got 3 days in without pads. Remember now, this is a non pad week.
Yep.
So we got 3 days without pads on, and boy, that was good. You know, we're all kind of doing this during practice. Oh, boy. And then Dave turns to me and says, Tony, what do you think? I says, I got no idea. We you know, nothing was full speed. Now, I'm going to throw a bunch of things at you. Are we away? Is it on turf? Okay, are we in the Metrodome where we can't hear? Okay, and boy, there's a lot of things. Obviously,
too many to work out. Like
the guy he would replace, in my opinion, would have to be disgusting.
It'd have to be like Orlando Pace is coming out there and playing. And Braxton Jones is just falling on his face.
Well, yeah, the guys who brought up a name today, we were doing a show with Dan Hampton, and he was bringing up, help me out here, the big tackle, the all-pro tackle, back to Green Bay. Was with Green Bay.
Yes. David Bakhtiari.
Yes.
Yes, David Bakhtiari, that he, oh yeah, people are talking about trying to get him signed now.
Right.
Okay. Dallas, for example. You know, the guy they had was just got beat bad by the Jets two or three times. Well, now you're getting a guy, and Tony, you probably agree, that's a good player, good guy, but the health is a problem, right?
Okay, but then I'm going to give you another one. Is he coming off the street, or is he coming from another team? Because coming off the street, again, does us no good, right? He's been out running drills. His agent's been running drills for him. Oh, that was wonderful. Oh, God, you look wonderful. And Ryan Pace calls, and or who's the GM?
It's Ryan Poles.
Ryan Poles, upstate New York. Okay, so he says, what do you think to the agent? Oh, he looks fantastic. Oh, okay, fine. Now, if he comes from the other team and I got to see film of him.
You can make some corrections on things that you need. You can try to figure out terminology stuff. You've got a scouting report to work with.
Now, the other thing, I'd be on the phone to that line coach. And I would say to him, look, between you and I, why are you doing this?
That's interesting stuff. I want to go back to something you just said. That the guy he's got to be replacing would have to be disgusting. You mean like so? If somebody is bad, you can still work with him. Like,
well,
would
yes.
you? Would you prefer
oh, God,
to work
yes.
with somebody who's bad?
Oh, yeah.
Than somebody new.
Let me just let me throw this in.
Yeah.
So and it's all in the what's that expression? It's all in the eyes
eye
of the beholder, right?
Uh huh.
We were in our first year and we were bad at the Cowboys, right?
Yes.
And Tony had a guy that wasn't very good. I can't remember his name at a spot. And whoever our center was. And when
Tom Rafferty.
And he was at the end, but Tony, he was a great player. You know, Penn State guy, I think, you know, I mean, great player for them. And Tony loved working with him, and he was just the guy he wanted to coach. and Mark Stepnowski was his backup. Wasn't that the game?
Yes.
So we get whipped by somebody, and Jimmy gets about six Heinekens in him, and he walks back on the plane, and he gets 2 inches, correct me if I'm wrong, go ahead, 2 inches from your ear, go ahead, Tony.
No, 2 inches from my face.
Yeah, yes. Go ahead.
You tell the story.
Well, he says, Tony, Mark Stepnowski is starting this week, or you're fired. And he went and sat down, and that was, wasn't that the story?
Yes.
I mean,
okay.
So, you know.
Good choice.
But Tony was content to work with the guy and bring until Stepnowski came along, correct?
You're right. You're 100% right.
And it happened with Alan Weingard, didn't it?
The guy it happened to was Eric Williams.
Yeah.
That's the guy it happened to was Eric Williams.
And that was a tackle, right? Or
yes.
something?
So, I mean, I don't see.
Was
here's
it, six
my,
honey, it was six.
I don't
wait,
know if
six,
anybody even knows Eric Williams.
Wasn't it six?
Does anybody remember Eric
absolutely,
Williams?
Absolutely.
Oh, they do? Okay.
A tremendous.
Oh, sure. A few guys that blocked Reggie
all right,
White.
All right.
Yeah.
So
Tony,
Eric,
Tony.
Eric,
go
with,
ahead,
a,
go
Eric
ahead.
With a K. Williams.
So Eric Williams.
Yeah.
Eric Williams from Central State. And Jim McNally and I went up to work him out. And he was blocking guys this high. Okay. But he tried to murder him. And that's what stood out. So I came back and we do the evaluation. I was big into that. Guys trying to murder guys. So I said on the report,
Not literally, to be clear.
Right. Right. Told the listeners.
He means it in football terms.
Yes.
We're with you, coach.
Thank you.
Doing your
thank
thing.
Thank you. Yes. Okay, thank you. Nobody has my email, so we're okay with that. So the first guy is holding out, Tony Tolbert. Wrap your arms. Training camp, first guy's holding out.
Hmm.
So Nate is blocking a second team guy. Then Eric would come in, and he's blocking a third team guy or a walk-on. So Jimmy was on me. He just saw him try to kill people. He said, Tony, all I do is watch Eric killing people. I says, Coach, you know, Dave is right. Well, it's a third-team guy, and he's a walk-on. He's Tony. I don't care. He's trying to kill him. So anyway, that was when Jimmy says, Tony, I've had enough. I don't care where he goes. But tomorrow morning at 7, Eric Williams is in the starting lineup. So I
signed off.
And said, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And he had a pretty damn good career.
Turned out okay. Dave, we played back something from you earlier this week. It was just phenomenal. Like, when Speaks and I heard it, we both were like, we have to play that. And it was your description of the first Cole Kmet touchdown. You were talking with Mully and Haw about everything that went into the fake. And what I thought was great, and Speaks pointed this out, hearing you describe it from the standpoint of a defensive player, and what all that offensive window dressing
faking a screen left, faking a screen right.
And the way that the linebacker just froze, and he was just kind of like, something's wrong, but I can't quite figure out what's going on. And then Cole Kmet goes streaking down the middle of the field. What was it about that play that you loved?
Well, the design, number one, as I said, it was a well-designed play, but it was a good play versus a too-deep coverage. You don't run that play versus a single high with a safety in the middle, if you know what I mean. I know you do. Because now Kmet's going to run into the safety. So you want it to be, and most teams, when they get in the red zone area from the 30 in, they like to play that too deep. Because even if you run the ball down there, your safeties are close enough to the line of scrimmage that they can help support the run. So you'll see a little bit more of the too deep down there. Now, with that being said, it helps the run, but it hurts the pass, because now a quick pass, those guys are playing halves of the field, no one's in the middle, and it's very difficult for that safety to go from outside to get to the middle. Okay, so now they draw up the play where they're going to run a screen, fake a screen, a bubble screen to the receiver to the left, fake a screen to the running back on the right. Kmet bangs the guy a little bit like he's blocking for the screen, and he sneaks down the middle of the field. The guy that makes screens go, I don't care if it's a tailback screen, that screen is the quarterback. The quarterback is the guy that sets the screen up. And Brett Favre was the best maybe that's ever played the game of running screens. And sometimes Brett Favre would drop back, guys, 15 to 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage waiting for the back to get open. And if he wasn't open, he'd throw it in the dirt and it'd be an incomplete pass. So my point is Caleb Williams did a phenomenal job of looking to the left. When he looked to the left and designed the play, the linemen were releasing to the left. Guess what all the linebackers and the safety did? They started working to the left. Then Caleb back and with the ball, and he looked to the back on the right. The linebackers, everybody moves that way in the safety. So when he hits Komet, you know, it was just run down there. I mean, it was a great setup. Caleb made that play go. It was a great design by the offensive coordinator, but Caleb set that thing up. You can't lose sight of that. If he's looking at Komet the whole time, it's not a play.
And because of the fakes of both sides, you have both safeties farther out than what they would have been when the play starts.
They couldn't get there to stop it and bang, you know, whatever. Yeah, absolutely. No, it was a great design for that area of the field. They caught him in the right defense. But Caleb Williams, guys, with his eyes, set the whole damn thing up.
And when you got a quarterback who cares enough about all those little things and will set up every little thing in the sixth game of his life in the NFL, it's an awfully good sign, isn't it?
Oh, he's so far ahead. I was on a show with Colin Cowherd this week, you know, and we were talking about that. He says, "Where's this kid?" I says, "The guy is years ahead of any rookie that I've been around as far as football intelligence. He gets it."
To
say in the post game one time, I knew I didn't really. They said, "Well, you didn't have any big plays. His longest pass play, I think, was the running back on a screen a couple weeks ago."
Yep.
You know, longest pass to the receiver was the Romo Dunze, 11 yards. And someone asked him about it, and he says, "Well, I knew I didn't have to force anything because my defense was playing so good, and my punter, the punter had kicked two punts, Tony, 65
plus yards."
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a kid from Iowa. It's crazy good. Best ever. And he said, "So I knew I didn't have to force anything down the field." I mean, that's something that Tom Brady says, guys.
That's awareness for sure. When we come back, Dave's going to give you his pick four for Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. Dave Wanstead, Tony Wise, Spiegel and Holmes here with you on The Score.